What is happening, good people? This is Keith, and I'm here to get you high on sports. Let's go. So today, I'm going to take a little bit of a different twist. I've been talking nothing but NFL here recently, and I'll get back to it. I'll get back to what we all want to hear. But with the NBA trade deadline hitting about 12 Eastern today, I think it's actually over by the time I'm hitting up this podcast. I want to get into the NBA because I got some things to say about the NBA. And one of the biggest beefs that I've got currently with the NBA is the state of play is so god-awful. And I don't mean the state of play in the talent level, because the talent level is ridiculously good, right? Ridiculously good. That has progressed. Guys can shoot the rock better. Guys can handle better. Guys can jump higher, right? They're faster. The talent level is higher than it was when I was a kid. So I don't want to make this out to be the glory days of when I was in my teens compared to now when I was now I'm in my 30s. But here's the thing with the NBA that drives me absolutely insane is that the airwaves, the media, everything I read, there is way more drama in the NBA, way more attention to the drama in the NBA than there is the state of play. And that's because for the last 5 years, the Golden State Warriors have just straight owned the NBA. Now, when I was a kid, I was a Bulls fan, right? Mike, Scotty, the first three had Horace, first three had Cartwright, had Johnny Pax, right? The next three, Mike, Scotty, had Steve Kerr, had Judd Bushler, Luke Longley, you know, had Ron Harper, Dennis Rodman. They were fun teams, man. They were good teams. But I never, ever, ever had the sense that the Bulls were the runaway favorites. Now, maybe that was me. Maybe that it was just I was a kid. And maybe the rest of the NBA and people who were 37 at that time hated the NBA because they just thought the Bulls were going to run away with it. But even when the Bulls went 72-10, I still felt like they had competition coming to them in the playoffs. I know for damn sure they had competition in the finals against the Jazz. That was a tough series, man. Both those Jazz finals went to game six, and they were tough. They were always close. And I think that is my biggest beef right now, is that we talk way more about the drama, way more about LeBron tweets, way more about Kevin Durant tweets, way more about the trade deadline, way more about the triple doubles as like a phenomenon more than does it help Russ win. Right? That's what we talk about. And the whole thing, the whole game changed when they took away hand checking. It is the by far number one game altering rule that's happened in the four major sports, or I'll just say three major. I don't know hockey that well. You know, there may come a day I talk a little hockey, but I'm going to just be straight honest. I jumped on the Blackhawks bandwagon when they got good, and it was a fun little ride, but I'm not a hockey meathead, man. I don't know the rules. I didn't grow up with it. I didn't play it. I find it to be extremely boring unless it's the Blackhawks in the playoffs. You know, and that's not I find baseball to be extremely boring unless it's the Cubbies. Right, I find I don't think basketball is boring isn't the word I'd use. I think it's more just kind of trash. You know, it's you watch these 48-minute games, 2.5 hours of your time, and you're really just looking for what, like a run of threes, you know, for your team to get hot and go 20-28 from the 3-point line. It just the whole game to me just seems it's just like a bad all-star game. You know, most of the games aren't close. It's either the teams that are hitting the threes are hot and they just roll you, or they're not, and you lose by 30 or 40. Seems like just so many blowouts, and I think that's it. We've always had in the NBA the haves and the have-nots. It's always been that way because if you have, you know, you're only going to have like five superstars in any given generation, and those are usually the teams that are going to be there for a decade. And the bottom teams, and this is a recent trend, this kind of just out there that we're tanking. I don't think they tried to tank back in the day. I just don't think they were good enough. They just didn't have Michael Jordan, Charles Barkley, Karl Malone, whoever you want to put, Clyde Drexler, whoever you think was second to Mike back in those days. So I feel like game to game, the state of competition was just greater. where now it's not just, you know, a four-horse race. It's a one-horse race. You know, we're rooting for Klay Thompson ankle injuries and, you know, for Kevin Durant mental breakdowns where it affects his play, which it hasn't, you know, even though that dude just melts down on a consistent basis, which I don't get, man. What is the chip on Kevin Durant's shoulder still? You know, does he realize he creates more of the drama than is created around his play? He's a great basketball player. He's the second best player in the world right now. He's great. There's some times where I think he's better than LeBron because LeBron just stopped playing defense. He's got old, you know. He's not the same elite defender he was even 2-3 years ago. So the NBA to me, man, has just become a mess. It's become a magazine. It's become more about the stories outside of the lines, you know, and that's all well and good. If you want the drama, you know, you want the bold and the beautiful, tune into the NBA. But I just can't get behind it. I used to love the NBA, man. I loved it. I watched games other than the Bulls. It was the only sport, and this is before fantasy. I had no interest, zero. There was nothing, no incentive. It wasn't my squad, but I'd watch Knicks Pacers. You know, I love the Lakers and the Kings rival going through the playoffs. I'd watch regular season NBA at almost any time if it was on because it was interesting and it was fun and the teams just seemed competitive. If it was on TV, it seemed competitive back then. And so it just doesn't now. Even you have this great offensive showing by James Harden, and it's really been phenomenal the last 3 years, but I've got so much that his jump back is just straight traveling, homie. I don't care if they don't call it and they've allowed it. That's traveling, man. If you were going to try to do that when you were 12 years old, just in a regular game in junior high, they would have called you 10 out of 10 times for traveling. When you jump back and jump back again, that's traveling. So they can call it what they want, but it just feels like the game is so wide open, no rules, not even like trying to say we want any defense. You had Jabari Parker come to the Bulls and just straight up when he was asked about his defense and how horrible it is, just say you don't get paid to play defense. And the saddest part about that statement is he was not wrong. You win championships by playing just enough defense, but he's right. You don't get paid in the NBA for playing defense, you know. And so I think that's sad, man, because I used to see the greatest player in the world get after it. Michael Jordan got after it. The best play that I saw in Michael Jordan's career was not that push off of Brian Russell and sink the last hoop of what should have been the last hoop of his career, the last hoop of those, you know, incredible six ring run that he had in the 90s. But the best play is that he stripped Karl Malone. Now, he might have fouled him, but he was so intense and knew, I have to have this ball. Now I'm going after it. Boom. Stripped Karl Malone. No foul was called. Went down on the other end. Sank the hoop. That's Michael Jordan's greatness. And in fact, I'm going to start talking more NBA because as the NFL becomes, 2018 becomes more of a distant memory, I'm going to talk some NBA, and I'm going to get into Michael Jordan versus LeBron James. I know it's a played-out subject. I know other sports personalities have played it out to death, like Sports Hannity, Nick Wright, right? Sports Hannity trying to just come up with opinions to get clicks, and Cowherd, who just goes in and into his own kind of rants. I love them both. I like Nick Herd. I love Colin Cowherd. I love Stephen A. Smith, man. They're good at what they do. I disagree with a lot of what they do, and I think sometimes they might be doing it for inauthentic reasons, but hey, that's my opinion, man. I'm sure people could say the same trash about me, so I try not to trash people who have reached greatness, and they're there for a reason, but I do call Nick Wright Sports Hannity, because I just think he says stuff, not necessarily because he believes it, but that it's going to, you know, carve up some controversy, which is what people in sports talk radio are there to do. They're there to carve up controversy as much as they're there just to give their opinions. You know, to me, I'm just fed up with the NBA and just putting out these stories. I don't care, man. I don't care. I don't care if Kevin Durant blew up at the press. The Warriors may not lose a playoff game. Do you understand that? may not lose a playoff game. I don't care if he can go to the Knicks possibly maybe next year. I don't care they opened up money for Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. I don't care, okay? I care about the hoops, and the hoops suck. And that's why we talk about the drama, because the hoops suck. They are not good anymore, and that shit needs to change. I feel like my childhood sport has been ripped away from me because it's not the same game anymore. It's a step down from Harlem Globetrotters. And I know that has made careers out of Steph Curry. And I know that has made careers out of Klay Thompson. And I know that has made careers out of Donovan Mitchell. But these dudes in the 90s with a handshake would have just been dudes. The way the rules currently are right now, Steph Curry is going to go down as possibly top five basketball player to have ever played the game. Let me repeat that. The way the rules have now currently been constructed, Steph Curry is going to go down as a top five basketball player to ever play the game. Now look, the way the game's currently constructed, what Steph does is incredible. It's incredible. His handle, his basketball intelligence, obviously his three-point shooting, it's all ridiculous. And I do get that. And it's awesome if you like that type of thing. But where it's not awesome is that, to me, being 6 foot and 190 pounds is just not a dude who should go down as the five best NBA players of all time. Because there's more to the game, at least there used to be. Because it's a two-way sport, there used to be more. And the greatest had to play defense, right? The greatest players needed to still play some defense. And so we just don't have that now. They legislated it out. They took it out of commission. They took it out of control. And now with the no handshake, imagine Ron Harper riding Steph Curry's ass up and down the court for 48, for 44, for 40. His ankle problems would have been more than that. I'm telling you that right now. More than that right now. So to me, I feel like it took away the competition. And now it just becomes who hits the three. And that's why you see blowouts. That's why you see fast break, because 3 points lead to long rebounds, which lead to an easy outlet, which leads to fast, quick points. And maybe that's what the kids want to hear. I want to get like a 20-year-old on and tell me if he's loving the NBA. You know, maybe a 20-year-old Warrior fan, and to tell me why, other than watching the Warriors, anyone should watch anything to do with the NBA. You have James Harden and Russell Westbrook doing incredible things statistically, but their teams suck constantly, right? Their teams suck constantly. Yes, the Rockets took the Warriors to 7 last year and may have won if Chris Paul didn't get hurt, but they didn't. They didn't. How are you going to have a dude who has now scored 27 straight times in a row, 30 points or more, 27 straight times? And what's their record right now? What's the Rockets' record right now? Seriously, man. It's become ridiculous. It was my beef with the NFL in September and October, mostly September, is when you legislate a part of the game out of the game, fans don't know what they're watching anymore. They just don't know, man. They don't know. I don't know. I didn't know what I was watching when I saw Mitch Trubisky throw 6 touchdowns. What am I watching there? Is Mitchell Trubisky a dude who should be in the record books in his second year for throwing 6 touchdowns? Come on. What are we watching anymore? When Ryan Fitzpatrick goes on the road? When the dude throws for 2 straight 400-yard games? Ryan Fitzpatrick? Come on. And so I know I'm getting off on a little bit of a tangent here, but I get frustrated, especially now with all this Anthony Davis crap. This is just the garbage that goes along with the NBA. You got players ever since LeBron got together with D-Wade and Chris Bosh in the Olympics, right, on that 08 team, and they decided right there and then, we're going to find a spot to get together. D-Wade talked with Pat Riley, made it happen. And they put that band together. And hey, what? You know what? So what? Good for them. But ever since that point, now the players have ruled the NBA. They've ruled the NBA. Not teams, man. Michael Jordan did not hijack teams to go do whatever it was he wanted to do. He hated the Bulls management. Michael Jordan hated the Bulls management, but he stuck with it. He stuck with it. You know why? Because that's what happened back then. They had a good team. He had Scotty. Why is he leaving Chicago? His legacy is as strong as it will ever be. So I don't blame LeBron James for moving on. I blame LeBron James for going behind the NBA's back, making a spectacle out of his free agency when he damn well knew the whole time what he was going to do. And he's trying to do that shit again right now in LA. And I'm happy, happy as hell that the Pelicans have shut that shit down, right? Who have not allowed Rich Paul, not allowed LeBron and Anthony Davis's agent to run the fucking show anymore, all right? Because it's bad for the game. And here's my thing, man. How are they signing the NBA these huge monster television deals? Are people watching this crap? Are people watching regular season NBA anymore? I tune in because I like sports and I always want to be around it and know what's happening. I don't get interested in the NBA until, you know, like the second round of the playoffs, maybe. You know, the first round is just a joke, generally. You know, it was kind of interesting as a Bulls fan when they won the first two games against Boston a few years ago. And it was kind of interesting, was it last year when the Pacers took the Cavs to seven games? So that stuff can be a little interesting, maybe. But I don't know who's watching it. I don't know, you know, I would love to hear from people. So shout out KJ DeVore at KJDeVore28 on Twitter. Hit me up. Shout out on this podcast and hit me up. And I want to hear from fans. I want to hear from true all-in NBA fans because I'm sick of it, man. And maybe a lot of it is that the Bulls have been pathetic for 20 years. You know, Jerry Krause screwed that whole thing up. They probably could have juiced one more ring out of that, but you couldn't put the egos together with Phil and Scotty and Mike, so they blew that up, and they have been a sinkhole of mediocrity garbage for 20 years. They had a little run when they had Ben Gordon and Kirk Heinrich and Lou Alding, and then they were able to kind of reset again when they were lucky enough to have Derrick Rose, and maybe they would have built something great with Joakim Noah and Rose and Lou Alding and added a piece here or there. But, you know, to me, the Bulls have just been a hot mess. Derrick Rose was a frustrating dude. He just said weird things. He seemed like a weird guy. It's kind of my tangent on Adam Gase. It was hard to get behind Derrick Rose as a superstar. And, you know, maybe a lot of it for me is just the Michael factor, man, is that you're never going to have another guy like Mike. You're never going to have the greatness, the psychotic intensity to win, the polished demeanor. Off camera, was able to hide all of his transgressions, indiscretions, right? He was at a perfect time because if Mike was in this day and age, he would not be Mike, in my opinion. He at least wouldn't have all the ladies on the side and had all of the drinking and gambling tournaments that he had. That stuff would have been exposed. So maybe it's just that. Maybe it's just, as I talk through it, it's just the atomic bomb that was Michael Jordan that will never allow me to seek any kind of joy in this NBA because Mike just, it's the epitome. You know, it's like you watch a great movie like watching The Hangover and you laugh your ass off, and then every hangover after that just is never going to be great. It's just never going to be great. Won't even be good. You can't compare the two. And so maybe that's just it. And I think that's a shame because I was never as hyped for the NBA in the last decade as when LeBron James beat the Warriors a few years ago. I've got a good buddy, Tui, who lives in Cleveland. I know Cleveland has suffered, not just with their sports teams, but economically, politically, part of their culture has suffered. And so I was extremely happy for LeBron James and to see what he did against the Warriors a few years ago. I thought that was awesome. Yeah, I really did. That was the most excited I've been for basketball in 15 years up until that point. And so I wish the game could get back to being better. I wish the game could get back to being stars wanting to beat other stars and not join other stars. And I understand I'm the old man, and I'm all for people moving on to better situations. I really am. You know, if Anthony Davis is stuck in dog shit, you know, you got to get out at some point. I get that. But he's not a free agent for another year and a half. And to try to work this deal, demand this deal, I'm glad the Pelicans said, said fuck off to him, his agent, and LeBron James, and now it's just a big mess in LA. Now this season's shot, Luke Walton's shot, all those kids on that team, they're shot, confidence is shot. They know LeBron James was behind all of this, so who the hell are they going to, they don't want to play with or for LeBron James now? Come on, he'll just sell him down the river for the next superstar next year. So I just, I wish they could get back to hoops in the NBA. I wish the Bulls could get back to some sort of success, too, and get clown gar and clown packs off my squad, man. Off my fucking squad. Otto Porter, are you serious? $55 million for Otto Porter on a team with the fourth best record in the NBA? What the fuck is that? I want to know. They did the exact opposite of what teams with the fourth best record in the NBA should be doing. The exact opposite. When I first heard the trade, I didn't know all the behind. I didn't know Bobby Porter, was on a restricted agent and could have had an expiring contract. I get trading Jabari Parker because that was a hot trash move anyways. It was a terrible move anyways. And we all knew it. All the fans knew it. What the fuck was that? How do gar packs have a job after 15 years? How? I need to know. And now you have Otto Porter, at best a good six man, a 3-and-D guy off the bench on a good team, right? And now you're locked into Otto Porter, Zach LaVine, and maybe and Lauri Markkanen, and Chris Dunn's probably gone if they get Jay Morant or if they're who I don't know who they're going to get, but Chris Dunn's not going to be part of this thing. I mean, is that scream building toward a championship? Is that scream building toward the playoffs? It's just more mediocrity. They should have, if that's what you're going to get for Jabari Parker and Bobby Portis, just let them walk, man. Let them walk, have more money to spend. You know no one wants to come to you guys because Gar Pax is just a fucking joke. Gar Foreman's a fucking joke. Clown face Gar. No one wants to come work for you, man. They saw you do Jimmy wrong. They saw you do Tibbs wrong. They saw you do Vinny wrong, who should never have been brought in here in the first place. Now look, building an NBA championship squad's difficult. I get it, but it doesn't have to be difficult and dysfunctional. You don't have to sit there waiting for the superstar to land in your laps and be dysfunctional. You can still do it with some class and do it the right way. And they haven't. And they're a joke. And I don't know what's going to change that anytime in the near future except landing a superstar where they'll say, okay, well, we don't care about Gar Pax because we run this shit anyways and we want to go play with Zion Williamson or we want to go play with Ja Morant or whoever that star is that the Bulls will be lucky enough to possibly land. That's the only way the Bulls are going to get better. And for me, that might be the only way that I watch the NBA, because to me it's just been a sport that's been stripped away, and it's just become way more drama, way more about the drama. It's become more who's going to go where than who is currently where they are and what is going on with the action, because we all know the end of this movie. We all know how this story ends, right? So we've got to create this other nonsense drama, and so we get away from the actual games, which is why we're all fans, and we start caring more about who is going to go where. And I think it's ridiculous, and I'd like to see some changes. So there it is. There's my laydown for the NBA. Like I say, hit me up at keith.keithdevore.com. This is High on Sports. I got a little rough today. It was a little bit of a rough high. You never know what you're going to get, man. You never know how that stuff's going to enter the body, you know, and what's going to spit out today. It just happened to be a little rage. Just a little rage, because I want to watch the NBA. I'm bored. It's February, right? The best sport in the world is on pause for 6 months. Well, I guess you got free agency in the draft and OTAs, so that's the shit I'm looking forward to. I got Cubbies coming up. That's great, but I want to be into the Bulls. I wish I was into the Suns out here in the desert. I wish I cared more about the NBA. So to me, I think you need to fix it. And there, no one will listen to this. I get it. They've made a philosophical decision. They're moving forward. This is where they want to go. But I think it's harmful for the NBA. And I think it's a damn shame, because the talent should be what we're focused on. And that should be spread out a little bit more. And we should have 4 to 6 teams that can win a ring instead of just the one that can win a ring. And so all the players, man, I'm not mad at you. I'm really not mad at you. I don't want to make it sound that way. I really am not mad at the players. They want to do what they want. It's a different generation. I'm mad at the NBA. You know, and I like Adam Silver. I do. I think he can do some good things. But the current state of the NBA is just trash to me. And after March Madness, you know, my basketball visor is going to be, you know, drawn over my eyes. So there it is for you, folks. Appreciate you listening. Hit me up on all of this. Hit me up where you can, when you can, how you can, how you want to find me. Let's talk. Send in questions to this Anchor podcast. And yeah, man, let's do it. I want to get into some discussion, into some debate. So appreciate your time. You'll hear from me again tomorrow. Later.